Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Good morning to you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Thursday, May 13th, 2021. That's Anthony Mason. That's Vladimir Duthier. Tony DeCopel's off today. I'm Gail King. Here we go.
This morning, the worst violence in years between Israelis and Palestinians is intensifying. Israel's military attacked new targets in Gaza, the Palestinian territory where militants are firing hundreds of rockets into Israel. And in the Israeli-occupied West Bank, Palestinian protesters fought with police. MTS Tayeb is outside Tel Aviv, where the violence is taking an unexpected turn. MTS, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I've been covering the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for a very long time. And the violence that we saw here in Bat Yam, in which you can see Arab-owned businesses just smashed to pieces, is something we haven't seen in decades. And the concern now is that this could spill into something far more serious.
Israeli media are calling this a lynching. After an Arab-Israeli man was pulled from his car in a Tel Aviv suburb and is beaten unconscious by dozens of far-right Jewish Israelis. The brutal attack was broadcast on live TV and has been condemned by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the country's chief rabbi.
When it comes to scenes like we saw last night, people being attacked, businesses being destroyed, have we crossed the line?
I think this is different from anything I've seen, and I've been living here for 24 years. I just want to point out that we're all Israelis, so Jews, Arabs, we're all Israelis.
A horrifyingly similar scene was posted on social media from Acre in northern Israel, showing a Jewish Israeli man allegedly being attacked by a group of young Palestinian Arabs. The violence sweeping across towns and cities with mixed populations of Jews and Arabs has been shocking. People, homes, businesses, and places of worship have all been targeted. This rabbi calls the situation a nightmare. A nightmare felt acutely in Gaza, where Israeli airstrikes continue to pummel the densely populated Palestinian territory, wreaking havoc. While Hamas continues to fire rockets into Israel, with over 1,000 last night alone. Since Monday, over 80 Palestinians have been killed and 7 Israelis in this tit-for-tat war. But it's the widespread civil unrest in Israel that has leaders across the region now fearing the decades-old Israeli-Palestinian conflict was now heading into a new, deeply dangerous territory.
Now, the one place that is mercifully calm this morning is the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem, where really this latest round of violence all started. And as Muslims celebrate the end of the month of Ramadan, which is normally a joyous time, really in this moment, that joy is on edge.
MTS Tayeb in Israel, thank you very much. A fuel shortage is getting worse across the southeast, but it should end soon. Drivers have been lining up at gas stations for days since a cyber attack shut down the main pipeline for the East Coast. Well, this morning, the Colonial Pipeline is open again. Our lead national correspondent, David Begno, is outside a Colonial fuel facility in Woodbridge Township, New Jersey. David, good morning.
Good morning. We are right near the finish line, Vlad. It starts down in Houston, comes up all the way to New Jersey where we are. The fuel is coming. That is the announcement this morning. And boy, doesn't it sound good? Haven't we all seen how hackers can disrupt things, drive up the price of gas, cause panic at the pumps? Now that it's restarted, how long should it take to get back to normal? 3, maybe 5 days. But it's back up and running. All of that panic at the pump seemed to be reaching a tipping point at gas stations across the southeast.
It's like the toilet paper fiasco all over again.
According to Gas Buddy, North Carolina is getting hit the hardest. 74% of its stations are facing outages. Half of the stations are out in Georgia, and it's even higher in South Carolina and Virginia.
There is fuel available. It's just when everybody's buying it at the same time due to hysteria, then it creates gaps in the supply chain, and that's just what we're seeing here.
For now, it appears the impending crisis is nearing an end, although not a quick one.
The supply itself is not really at issue here.
Kent Moores is the executive chair of the Energy Capital Research Group.
These are going to be local inabilities to move supply to where the demand is when the demand hits. And that's going to take about 48 hours.
Colonial Pipeline has declined to say whether it paid a ransom to the hackers. In a statement, the company said safety was its primary focus and that it would conduct a comprehensive series of pipeline safety assessments. Former FBI Deputy Director and cybersecurity expert Sean Joyce says private companies need to work together with the federal government to combat future attacks.
And the private sector companies are really left to defend themselves. And on some of these sophisticated adversaries like nation states and organized crime groups, that is a very difficult proposition.
You know, yesterday the president signed an executive order to strengthen cybersecurity defenses in this country, but it does not include privately run infrastructure like oil and gas companies. And Gail, 80% of the energy infrastructure in this country is privately run. So you got to wonder how this executive order is going to make much of a difference at this point.
Yeah, very good question, David Bagnell. Thank you. The CDC has cleared the way for all 12 to 15-year-olds to get Pfizer's COVID vaccine. So that means young adolescents will be able to get the shot nationwide starting today. Now, in a recent poll, 30% of parents said they would get kids in this age group vaccinated right away, but 23% said they would definitely not get them inoculated. President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, joins us. Dr. Fauci, we always love it when you're here. A lot of questions, a lot of concerns, as always, when you come. Normally, when you're here, people got lots of questions, Dr. Fauci, so here we go. You know, parents, I've heard parents say, look, I'm willing to take a risk. I'm not willing to take a risk for my children. So what do you say to them for parents who are worried about the long-term effects? Everybody just says there's still so much unknown about this vaccination. What do you say?
Well, that's not entirely true, Gail, really. The fact is that the information that we have now, with literally almost 200 million people having been vaccinated here in the United States and worldwide, I mean, we've administered 264 million doses in the United States. The safety profile is really quite firm and sound. So, I mean, first of all, you don't want to, in any manner or form, have the parents feel like they're doing something wrong by questioning it. I mean, it's the perfectly normal thing to be concerned about your children and to question. And that's the reason why you want to get them as much information as you possibly can and be very open and transparent about the information. It is very important for children to get vaccinated. One, because even though it's quite true that if children get infected, the seriousness of the infection in children is clearly less than the potential in certain adults, particularly the elderly and those with underlying conditions. But we are starting to see younger people get into serious trouble, again, at a very low rate, but serious trouble. But the other aspect of it that they need to understand is that when children get infected, even though they may not, in fact, get serious illness, they could inadvertently and innocently pass the infection on to someone else, perhaps another member of the family, who is vulnerable and could get into trouble.
Are there long-term effects for kids?
You know, when you say long-term effects, if you look at the history of vaccinology and you look at the time when you see long-term effects, you usually don't go beyond 45 days after the vaccination. We do not let the vaccines out on an emergency use authorization until at least 60 days following the time when half of the people have received the last dose in the clinical trial. And we are well beyond that right now. So we're well into almost a year of people having received the vaccine. And there is no long-term effects that anyone can notice.
Dr. Fauci, given the importance that you say getting kids vaccinated, how important that is, do you think schools should require kids to get vaccinated before they come back to school?
You know, that is something that's debatable. I mean, whenever you're talking about requiring something, that's always a charged issue. So I'm not so sure we should be requiring children at all. We should be encouraging them. But you've got to be careful when you make a requirement of something. That usually gets you into a lot of pushback, understandable pushback.
Well, let me ask you about incentives, because Ohio's Governor Mike DeWine is going to be on this broadcast later this morning, has offered $1 million incentives in a lottery form for people who get vaccinations if they get the shot. Five people could be winners. What do you think of financial incentives for vaccinations?
You know, when you talk about incentives, there are incentives for a variety of interventions. So this would not be unique. I mean, there are different types of incentives. It's very interesting, a rather creative one of the governor there. But we have incentives to get people into clinical trials, and we have incentives for people to get involved in accepting interventions. So it's not a unique concept.
Dr. Fauci, please help us with the mask situation. I know we're told we can wear it outside. We don't have to wear it outside, but I'm telling you, I was in New York, where I live, walking down the street. I just stopped a random lady, and I said, have you been vaccinated? She said, yes. I said, me too. Why are we wearing our masks? She goes, I don't know. I mean, because right. I think we all feel, and I said, me too, ma'am, me too. I think we all either feel guilty, or we feel it's not time, or we see everybody else doing it. It's monkey see, monkey do. Is it, do you really think it's okay? Because I still feel judged. I feel people are giving you the side eye. It's not comfortable, Dr. Fauci.
I know, Gail, we've got to make that transition. If you are vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask outside. It would be a very unusual situation. If you were going into a completely crowded situation where people are essentially falling all over each other, then you wear a mask. But any other time, if you are vaccinated and you are outside, put aside your mask. You don't have to wear it.
Okay, people are still judging. And can I just ask about you and Rand Paul? Does your body tense up every time? And by body, you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know, Gail, I just don't want to get into that tit for tat with him. I just don't understand what the problem is with him. But, you know, well, just going to do my job, and he could do what he wants to do, and we'll see what happens.
Yes. Well, you are still Dr. Anthony Fauci, and we thank you for your time today. Thanks. We'll see you again.
Thank you very much, Gail. Good to be with you.
Bye.
All right. Speaking of Capitol Hill, on Capitol Hill, a clear majority of House Republicans voted to remove Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership post yesterday after she repeatedly denounced former President Trump and his false claims that the last election was stolen. Republican Jim Jordan, one of the former president's most loyal allies in Congress, spoke with Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett about the vote and the future of the GOP.
Do me a favor and define what conservatism is now.
We are an American first party. A populist party rooted in conservative principle.
Can you be a conservative and disagree with the president about the 2020 election?
I don't think it's helpful. I think we should be focused on making sure that we have integrity in our elections going forward. That's what I've always said about. There are millions of Americans who have concerns about what happened in this last election. I've never said this election was stolen. All I've said is, let's check it out.
Do those concerns originate election. With their own organic knowledge, or because they hear President Trump say this? Over and over and over, it was stolen from him?
It originated with them. Of course it did.
Trump had nothing to do with that.
Well, all I'm saying is 80 million Americans instinctively know whether, regardless of what President Trump may or may not have said, they know. Well, think about it. I think maybe to reassure the American people, 80 million of them, both Republicans and Democrats who have those concerns, why not look into it? That's all I've said all along. But somehow, oh, that's crazy. You can't do that. Makes so much sense to me.
Courts, election officials, and the former president's own Justice Department looked into the 2020 election and found no evidence to overturn the result in any state. And yet, Mr. Trump continues to tell his supporters the election was a fraud. The undisputed leader of the Republican Party is?
President Trump.
For how long?
I think he's going to run again, and I'm all for that.
I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office.
And you can't have the Republican conference chair, the Republican Party spokesperson, consistently attacking the leader of the party who 74 million Americans voted for.
In your party, there's a large conversation about cancel culture. Has Liz Cheney been canceled?
I've never called for her step down or resign from Congress. I do think there's a big difference, though, between whether you're going to be in Congress or not and us deciding as Republicans in Congress who's going to be our spokesperson.
Trump has described Cheney as a warmonger and yesterday called her a bitter, horrible human being.
Is Liz Cheney a bitter, horrible human being?
Look, I've worked with Liz. I've said all along that I don't think she should be conference chair.
But you know what I'm driving at. The former president has language that is highly personal at times and insulting. Do you agree with any of it in regards to Liz Cheney?
Well, I think in this situation, Liz has said some things about the president. I think it's probably elevated the rhetoric a little bit. And sometimes he comes back. That's human nature. I understand that.
Very sad.
Yeah.
It is. It's very, very sad to me what has happened to Liz Cheney, that for telling the truth, something we all teach our children, you tell the truth.
Yeah.
She tells the truth and she is greatly penalized for it.
Well,
now there seems to be revisionist history here in the Republican Party and, dare I say, some selective amnesia about what was said and what wasn't said.
Well, I mean, to Congressman Jordan's point that this should be looked at, it has been looked, the election should be looked at, it has been looked at. It was taken to, I think, 60 courts,
right,
all of whom said there's nothing here.
And what's fascinating is Elise Stefanik, who will replace Liz Cheney, presumably, has a much more moderate record of voting in Congress than Liz Cheney, who voted pretty much lockstep with President Trump.
No, history is watching. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, because I don't think it's over yet. Moving on, there was a mid-air collision involving two small planes near Denver. And incredibly, we're glad to tell you, everybody walked away here. As you can see, one of the airplanes was nearly ripped in half. Wow. The pilot was the only person on board, managed to land at the airport yesterday. The other plane with one passenger landed in a field. Look at this, after deploying a parachute. No one was hurt in either case. The National Transportation Safety Board and Federal Aviation Administration are investigating now. Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get your morning news in under 20 minutes and daily podcast original.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.